Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. 3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So as we await for my brother to come on, I ask that wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we give you glory and honor and praise this day. We thank you for the opportunity once again as we assemble together to go into the Word of God. And Father, we ask today that, oh God, that you will bless us in your Word. Bless the speakers tonight, as well as the hearers. Father, help us to rightly divide the word and give your word as you would see fit. For Lord, our desire is to please you. And Lord, those who seek the truth, even by what we give them, Lord, reveal yourself to them and witness unto them in the name of Jesus. So Lord God, we thank you. And Lord God, we just give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. I want to open up again with Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 12. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 12. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11 to verse 12. If you have your Bibles, I ask what you would turn there. I would like to put your eyes on this. If you don't have any Bibles, if you have a paper and a pencil, write this down, okay? And for those of you who are first-time listeners, hey, after you listen to part two, go back and listen to part one and the episodes of the other series even before that, because all this ties in together. If you're on this page here, you're either going to see the God's Word to Man logo name or the picture of a Bible. You click on the picture of the Bible, a drop box will come down and say, one of them would say the episodes, click on it. And then we show you all the episodes we have done before. Glory be to God. So, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 12. And the word said, and the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. Now, we on a new section of series, and it is titled, How Did the Record of Nephi Come Forth? And we have been talking to you about this book, The Record of Nephi, which is one of the signs of the restoration and restitution of all things, God doing this work of restoring. And we have been talking to you about now, how did it come forth? We have now been telling you that it exists. Now we're talking to you about how it come forth, and we've been breaking it down. Now, in part one, I opened up with you and read to you that how that when we read here in Isaiah 29 and 12, it was 11 and 12, that the book was delivered or given to one that was learned. He couldn't interpret it. And the one that was unlearned could not interpret it either. That means by their own power. The one that was unlearned that ended up doing it by the power of God, I gave you his name. His name is Joseph Smith. Now, I read to you his account. How he was visited by a heavenly messenger whose name was Nephi, And he was the one that told Joseph Smith about these plates, okay? These plates of gold plates where the account of those who formerly, the former inhabitants that live on this continent, an account was given of them on these plates, and that it also contained the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Amen. And so I mentioned to you a scripture before I turned it over to my brother yesterday, and one of them came from the book of Genesis, chapter 36, verse 11. And I gave you that scripture because to show you that God does send angels, angelic beings, unto to communicate to man. Now, let me pass my brother on. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. How are you?
Blessing the Lord, brother. Thank God for another blessed day. Did get a text. I guess they said we're not going for day number three. You got to show up to work tomorrow. So we've had our 2 days off. Okay, and it's now time to, yeah, I'm out of there. And then on top of that, they threw the other news, say, hey, look to work this weekend. So praise be to God. I guess they said, hey, you had 2 extra days. You know we're going to make up for it. So I sent my supervisor a text back, and I told him I'm not surprised. So therefore, after sending that text, knowing I got to go to work tomorrow, and they're looking for us to work 9 hours tomorrow instead of 8, and they're looking for us to work this Saturday, oh, well, praise be to God. So we are on part two of How Did the Record of Nephi Come Forth? Share with the believers. The last thing I gave them was Genesis 36 and 11 that talks about how God sent his angel to Jacob. And I gave that scripture to show that God does send angels to communicate to man. As Joseph Smith said, he was visited by a heavenly messenger, Nephi. And, you know, it's amazing how that some Christians don't believe that God does that today. So I gave them that scripture. They really don't. Hallelujah. I gave them that scripture. In fact, let me correct myself. It's Genesis chapter 31, verse 11 through 13. Genesis chapter 31, verse 11 through 13. Now, I want to right quick look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse 26 to verse 28, and as my brother would tell you many times, I want to say this to you also, this down, okay, write this down. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 28, and the word said, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, not from man, not from a Presbyterian gathering, but from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So, second witness, we see here that God will send an angel to communicate to mankind. And their communication is bringing a message from the Lord our God. Now we're there. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, looking at our third witness. Revelation chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Once again, if you would, if you have your Bibles, follow me in your Bibles. If you don't, and you have a pencil and a piece of paper, please write this down. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 through 9. Now, this is what John the Revelator recorded. And he said, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So now our third witness is that God will send angels to mankind to communicate to mankind the message and the things of God. Okay, so I gave you those scriptures to show you, say, hey, since I read to you that Joseph Smith said he was visited by a heavenly being, you won't have to look worldly eye or buck eyed or scratch your head or look in the air and say, oh, could this be? I have given you three witnesses to prove that God will do such a thing like that. Now, having done that, I want to give you a couple more scriptures on something else. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to give you these couple of scriptures. In fact, I'm going to read it first. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26 and verse 27. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26 to verse 27. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26 to verse 27. And the word of God said, "And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." Displeased the Lord. Now, keep that in mind, okay? And for those of you on your own time, read the next chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, once again, we just read that this man Uriah, his wife, she was grieving, she was mourning because her husband is dead. And David, he didn't send the flowers and the card and, "Oh, I'm sorry for your loss." But the Bible says he fetched her to his house and she became his wife. Keep that in mind. Now, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 to verse 3. And the word of God says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites." Wow. "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they would turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave," or in other words, clung unto these in love. To who? To them women. Verse 3 said he had, get this, 700 wives. Good gracious. Princesses and 300 concubines. Those side women, people. And his wives turned away his heart. Now, you said, "Brother Nate, why did you go to these last two scriptures?" Because, remember, we're talking about how the record of Nephi came forth, and we're talking to you about a man named Joseph Smith, whom God had used in the bringing forth of this record of Nephi. And I know that many of you, just by hearing his name, because I know that many of you listening, no doubt you have heard of Joseph Smith, and what you heard was nothing good, okay? So, if we're telling you that, hey, God used this man, Joseph Smith, you know, in bringing forth this book that's supposed to be of God, now you either frowning up or your eyebrows have went to the top of your hairline, or you started to really start to get kind of restless in your chair, your finger wants to hit that button and click us off. Now, the reason why I brought up and read to you about David and Solomon, because who we know wrote Psalms? Huh? Didn't David, especially the 51st Psalm, David in that 51st Psalm, he repented for that thing I read to you about him. Remember, it said the thing that David did in fetching that woman to be his wife displeased the Lord. Why? Because he set her husband up to be killed on the front line.
Amen.
Now, some of you said, "Well, David was a man of God." Yeah, but David had failures too.
Yes.
So how many of y'all has snatched out the book of Psalms, the whole book, and said, "Hey, I ain't reading none of that no more"? Because see, what you got to understand, David was a man of God, but he had a lust problem. He did. He had a strong lust problem. You and your wife walking around him, if your wife looking good, hey, I just got to be straight up with you. if she looking good and David give her the worldly eye look, now you have to be concerned about yourself. Well, I'm just letting you know, okay? He had shortcomings, but I have not heard none of the ministers, none of the big-time televangelists, none of these ministers that come on TV, they got umpteen thousand hours of study time. I've heard none of them say, hey, we don't get in the book of Psalms no more. Don't read that. Why? Because David, low-down David, okay? Amen. And I read to you what David did. Whoever would kill, he didn't send a greeting card, or he didn't send a card of sadness, or send the man by there and say, hey, whatever she needs, give her what she needs, send flowers. No, he sent for her to be his wife. Now, was that cold or what? Okay? That was cold. But one of the things about David that God loved was God tells us in his word that David was a man after his own heart. So David was quick to repent. Okay? Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But yet still, you don't hear none of us discrediting anything he said in Psalms, right? And then there is Solomon. Now, I just read to you in 1 Kings chapter 11. God had already told Solomon, said, Solomon, stay away from them strange women. Said, they're going to turn your heart away from me. Just like that. Did he listen? No. In fact, the Bible says he loved many strange women. Call them strange. Amen. And what happened?
Amen.
They turned away his heart from God.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Was not Solomon considered to be one of the, if not the wisest? Didn't he not write the book of Proverbs, which is considered to be what? The wisdom book? Well, my question is, how many of y'all have torn out all the chapters of Proverbs and said, into the garbage you go? And how many of y'all ever told, say, hey, y'all better not dare repeat no verse out of Proverbs? I mean, why? Because they're low down solid. Solomon turned on God. No. I say that to you about that because when we go all into, see, people, we got a whole lot more stuff to talk to you about. And we're going to talk about the failures of Joseph Smith. We're going to do that, people, okay? But here's the thing. When somebody tell you, say, hey, there was a side before he fell that he was humble. And God used them. All of a sudden, many of y'all mouths will fly wide open. And then y'all will look at us and say, get them out of here. Throw them out of here. Amen. Y'all will pick up your clubs and all that because you can't fathom the thought that perhaps before someone failed, they may have done something right. Maybe they was used of God.
Amen.
And we can't fathom that. So when we tell you, say, hey, well, God use this man and bring him forth the record of Nephite. Some of y'all are already going, oh boy, here we go again. We gone. Amen. Hallelujah. There are some ministers today who started off humble with God. Started off humble with God. God have used them and all that. Now they went into sin, and some of us discredit everything about them now. It's amazing what people would do, okay? Many times they'll forget the good that you did at first or when you was humble. Oh, man, you do something wrong. Everything getting discredited. We wiping out everything. Everything. I don't care if God used you to divide the Red Sea. We going to act like it never happened. That's what we do. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So, that's why I was, and remember, Solomon and David had a bunch of women. Now, if me or Brother Ronnie can go around some people and they find out we're a minister, you know the first thing they're going to say, I had this happen to me on my job. I think I had been working on that job, I don't know, maybe about 3, 4, 5 years. I went to the break room one time. We was at break. And this is other minister there talking to the guy. And boy, he was talking to the minister, you know, kind of disrespectful. you know, in a way. And then he came out and said something. He said, yeah, y'all ministers, he said, there's two things I know that y'all want. And what he said is a common saying among many people. What? Money and women. Okay? Money and women.
Yeah.
David and Solomon had a bunch of women, people. But yet still, I don't hear none of you saying, hey, Proverbs, man, throw that thing out. Get that. In fact, man, you read, hey, I want to know wisdom. Go to Proverbs. And nothing about Solomon comes up on his failure side.
Amen.
Same thing with Psalms, okay? David premeditate this thing, people. When he saw that man white, oh, I got to have her. I got to have her. I got to have her completely. Told Joab to put him on the front line. And when the thing get hot, leave him. Leave him.
Amen.
And Joab obeyed. he obeyed. Now, Uriah's dead, and David doing the lowdown comfort, if you know what I mean. The lowdown comfort. Comforting you to a point where now you belong to me, Tony. See, that was cold. And that's why God sent Nathan to him. And David thinking, I ain't got away with this, till Nathan popped that parable on him. And when he did, and all of a sudden, when Nathan said, hey, it was you, King David. Oh, boy, put that on him right there. King David was looking. Well, you can imagine look on his face. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Open up a curse, child with curse with sneakiness. Amen. Child didn't do anything, but see, because he was connected to him, that's another thing. That's another broadcast in itself we're going to probably do one day. You know, some people think that, you know, what the parents do can't affect the children, or who you connected to can't affect you, but it can. But
yeah,
it can.
Because
the baby didn't do nothing. But the baby hit, a curse of sickness hit that baby. That's why with David all on the down there crying. And then men all around him, and the men got the new first, the baby dead, they try to figure out how we going to tell King David. And when they finally told him, David jumped up like it was nothing. They looking at him like, what? Man, you all couldn't ever cry that. And see why? Because David knew. He knew.
Amen.
He knew. But see, whenever we read Psalms, you don't hear nothing about David's failures come up. But see, when something's mentioned about, and once again, I'm not here on a Joseph Smith parade. I'm not being a cheerleader in the corner for Joseph Smith. I want to get that straight. I'm just letting you know that there was a time where he was humble and God did deal with him. But see, many of you can't fathom that because all you have heard about him was the bad side. And see, I'm not condoning the bad side. That like I said, me and my brother, we're going to get into all that. That's going to be lovely, okay? Hallelujah. But anyhow, he was used, people. Before he got out the way, before he come up, see, there are many men of God that it happened to. Look at today at your gospel singers, your so-called gospel singers. A lot of your gospel singers started out, man, they were singing songs so anointed, you just had to break down and start crying. Couldn't even play the piano. It was so anointed. Now what they doing? Boogalooing, big earrings in their ears, shaking it to the left and right, break dancing, spinning on the floor, jumping in the air, doing the buck kick, the soul train line, dancing all down there, shaking with big afros on their head and big bell bottoms. Some of them with tattoos all the way from the top of their head to their toes. And calling it gospel. Amen.
Yikarama.
And some of us who supposed to be Christians saying, wow, they're really singing for the Lord. I'm like, what Lord they singing for? What Lord? You tell me what Lord is they singing for? So you got to watch people saying, God, Lord, Jesus. You got to find out what kind they talking about. Just because people say Lord, Jesus, and God, doesn't mean they talk about the Lord Jesus God of the Bible. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Just like that thing with Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey talking about, I'm a man of faith. You got to find out what faith he's talking about. See, just because you hear people saying, I'm a man of faith, they all may think, oh, he believes in the Lord. I said, would you examine? See, that's our problem. We don't examine stuff. We just take things at face value a whole lot. And so when people say, I'm a man of faith.
Amen.
We don't even question, what kind of faith you talking about? Only thing you got to do is sit there and listen and let them keep talking. They'll show you. They'll show you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I had to share those scriptures tonight because as we talk to you and been talking to you about how this comes forth and other things, and you hear us mention Joseph Smith, I don't want y'all to fall out your chair, okay, or be drinking on some water, start choking. Because you're like, oh, my goodness. Man, I told you. See, this is where, and I got to speak this. See, me and my brother, we are members of the Church of Christ, Eliza Message, okay? Hey, we ain't hiding nothing. Now, when you go on our website, who do you see? When it said the church started, it has who down there? Joseph Smith. And so many of you, when you see the name Joseph Smith, you go, uh-oh, click. That's it. That's it. I can't associate with them no more. Why you can't do that? They are Mormons. No, we're not Mormons. Mormonism is not of God. I repeat. Just like you hear the person come over the intercom when they say, I repeat. I'm going to say it again. I repeat. Mormonism is not of God. That Amen. Was on the downside of Joseph Smith in his failing. Like I said, we're going to get into that. Once again, that's going to be lovely. Okay? But what I'm saying is this. When you see that on the web, see, this is where we mess up in the Church of Christ of Last Mess. See, I told y'all people, it's trouble everywhere. Okay? Every church is going through something. You ain't gonna show me one that ain't going through something. They're going through something. And the problem we've done in Church of Christ Eliza Message is that we have not explained what's Joseph Smith's name doing on there. Okay? We ain't explained. We just said, well, God is Joseph Smith, like that. You got to renounce the thing. When you know, I don't care if it's a brother or sister, got us some out-of-way stuff, ungodly and leading people astray, you got to renounce that stuff openly.
Amen.
Not behind closed doors. Tell me, come to my house and I'll talk to you and tell you where we stand. No, you got to openly say, hey, that stuff that they brought up, this and that, this and that, and that and this, that's not of God. We're not with that. But see, we messed up because we ain't saying nothing. And that's why many of you, when you see it on there, you go, man, I thought they were men of God. Man, I'm going to quit listening to them. Man, I thought they were men of God. Why are they? Man, I found out Joseph Smith, man. But guess what, y'all? If I didn't know what I know from God, I would be the same way like you. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd be the same way. I see Joseph Smith's name on there. I say, oh, I'm gone. Don't invite me to no service because I ain't coming. Okay? Amen. And I've had people, since I've been saved, have come at me about that. Yeah. Especially one brother in particular. He didn't left and went back to New York. But when he saw that name on there, he was like, oh. And he called himself, quote, speaking prophetically to me, one prayer service one time, and saying stuff to me. And I'm looking at him like, why is you saying this? And then the next time when we came together, that's when the truth came out. But here's the thing, as I get ready to turn it over to my brother, when I explain to him about it, see, this is why I want y'all to understand, people. This is why we be telling you, okay? You got to have an open mind to God, not an open mind of Brother Nate and Brother Robert. See, when we give you these scriptures, that's why we tell you take it to the Lord. But if you got a closed mind because you saw something that jarred you and you go, now, when that brother approached me about that and I talked to him about it and explained it, his mind was still closed.
Yeah.
It was still closed. And I'm here to tell you, that's why me and Brother Robert, we do not ask for your phone numbers. We don't ask for your address. We're not trying to buy or rent a car so we can come down and track you down every day and bug you. That is not what we're called to do. We're called to give you this word and tell you, hey, take it to the Lord. That's it. That's it. Okay? Now, some of you that's listening, you may be like the brother I was talking about, and your mind is already still closed, trapped. You threw the key away, and no one can open it. If that's you, God have mercy on you, okay? And then there's others of you who may say, hey, you know what? And I'm kind of shook a little bit about that Joseph Smith, but this stuff they tell me, I'm going to take it to the Lord. And I say to you, God bless you. Amen? Then there's a few of you who really is open to just hearing from God, who may get that instant witness. See, it's dealing with the heart, people. It's dealing with how close your heart is to God and how tender and humble it is toward God, the quicker we receive revelation. You understand what I'm saying? That's how it goes. So you got some people out there, they just want truth. They ain't no denominational mind. They ain't no sitting on no, just sitting on the, my church, whatever I belong to, mine. They ain't none of that. They about, hey, truth is truth from the word. I want to know it. And those folks get instant witnesses, okay, because their heart is open. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm going to stop it there tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to the hands of my brother. Take it away, brother.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you was listening, brothers and sisters, okay, because what we are telling you is truth, okay, and we are we're hooking you up little by little, okay, and we're telling you the truth of God, okay, and we're coming from one end of God's word to the other end of God's word, okay, and we ain't just, notice, we're not just on, we don't just give you one little scripture here, one little scripture there. See that one scripture? That one scripture there, okay? We can quote you whole, we can show you whole chapters, okay, regarding the things that we say, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, my brother just got to, I'm going to back on his for a little bit, brother. Revelation, 22nd chapter of Revelation, ninth verse, okay? And now, this is very interesting. If you observe this, okay? Now, a lot of you read this, and you don't pay no attention. I bet you didn't pay no attention because I'm going to point something out to you right here, okay? Then saith he unto me, this is the angel talking to John, okay? See thou do it not, for I am fellow servant and of the brethren of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, the worship God, okay? This book, hallelujah. Do you see that? Do you see that? That ninth verse there? I am thy fellow servant. That means that he wasn't a pure spirit, okay, on the earth, okay, but he was a man at one time, okay.
Amen.
He was a man. He was of the tribe of he was of the children of Israel, okay, and thy brethren, of thy brethren, and of thy brethren, get it straight, and of thy brethren, the prophet.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So that means he was a prophet at one time. Okay? This angel. So what is that saying to you right there? That's saying to you, not only does God send angels, but God, Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, after his resurrection, that all those people that came after him became what? What did they become? They became angels. They became resurrected like Christ Jesus, okay? Just like it talks about in Colossians, just like it talks about in Ephesians, okay? About our bodies being changed into the, from what? From mortal, hallelujah, into like that of Christ, okay? It says that in Ephesians, right? Doesn't it say that there in Ephesians? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now, if
what Corinthians. That's Corinthians.
Okay.
From immortality, or Corinthians.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15.
I'm talking about the one is what Jesus says that he's going to change your body into that of like Christ. That's in that's in Ephesians.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
In Ephesians. It's either Ephesians or Colossians, one of those. Okay, but it's there. Okay. So what we're trying to tell you is that because Jesus sent this angel, okay, to John, what possibilities do you see here? That we are going to become like Jesus, okay? And our body's going to be changed from this vain mortal body into what? To like that of Christ, okay? From
Amen.
Mortal to immortality in the twinkling of an eye, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But that can only happen in the resurrections, right? So there
Amen.
Has been one resurrection already, right? This resurrection
Amen.
That, and all the people that came after Jesus Christ, okay, they came out of the grave, okay. All those people that came after Christ, everybody that was born, everybody that was that believed in Christ, and had hope for the Messiah, all those people rose up. Thank you, Jesus. And anyway, you are a fellow servant. Okay, you are a fellow servant. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is what he's just telling you, okay? And so he's telling you that, hey, I'm your fellow servant. It's only one person that uses that particular quotation, okay, or that word there that says fellow servant. That's only one, but you may not know of him, but we know of him. That's only one
Amen.
That says it calls people his fellow servant. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to talk about that later on. Hallelujah. Thank you. But this same prophet, hallelujah, that's the Ancient of Days. This prophet that's visiting John is the Ancient of Days. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. And it was possible for him to get up because he died before Christ was crucified. Okay? Now you have to remember all these little pieces of information that I'm giving you, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That all the people that died before Christ died, that believed in him, they all got up after him, okay? Thank you, Jesus. That's God's rule. That's what God has said, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. Now, I just wanted to point that out to you. Thank you, Jesus. But now I want to go back to a scripture, okay? In the Genesis 41st chapter of Genesis, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to start reading, okay? And it came to
Amen.
Pass. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. and behold, seven fenced ears and blasted with the east wind sprang up after them. And the seven fenced ears devoured the seven rank, and the full ears and the ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto the Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both he and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he dreamed each man. Let me turn the page here. According to the interpretation of the dream, and there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph Pharaoh saying, it is not in me, God. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat shed, and were well favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill favored, and lean fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto the Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kind are 7 years, and the 7 good years are 7 years. The dream is one. The 7 thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine. Following for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out one, a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 70 years. So you know the rest of that part of that story, right? Thank you, Jesus. But the part I want you to understand is that Joseph, when he was in Egypt all those years, okay, before his brothers came to him, he was there all that time, okay, from the time that they sold him to Egypt, right, and to the time that he actually that the Pharaoh made him the second ruler of Egypt, right? So now,
amen.
He married, when Joseph married, he married an Egyptian woman, right? Yes, he did. He married an Egyptian woman, right? And he had Egyptian and Hebrew children, okay? That's right? So now,
amen.
Because he had two different languages, he taught his sons his two different languages, okay? Thank you, Jesus. He taught them Hebrew and he taught them Egyptian, okay? Because that's what they was in the land of that, right? So now,
amen.
This way you got this way you get this funny language today. This language that they brought across, okay, in 600 BC, the tribe of Joseph. Thank you, Jesus. They were of the tribe of Joseph, the Nephites, right?
Amen.
So they had this language, this dual language, but the language. Languages just changed back then very quickly, okay? Sometimes people picked up different things from other languages, okay? But when they had these two languages, put these two languages together, it sounds like stammering tongues, okay? Right? And that's what it sounds like, according to Isaiah and according to Ezekiel, okay? It sounds like stammering tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Now the people. Now a lot of people, they don't understand this, okay? Because they don't understand the dealings of God, okay? But God is the one. God arranged all these things. God even arranged for Joseph to be sold out by his brothers, okay? God arranged that. Thank you, Jesus. And God arranged that by making. He made Joseph a dreamer. Joseph dreamed dreams, okay, and his dreams came true, okay. And when he revealed his dreams to his brothers, what did his brothers do? His brothers did exactly what God knew that they would do. They would try to kill him, okay.
Yeah.
They knew that there was gonna be one that would not. That they would say, "Don't kill him." And he would save him, okay? But God did all this so he could save Israel, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
But they, in a later chapter, he says God they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, okay? So that's the way God work, okay? And so sometimes we try to work out things. And sometimes we say things that we don't have a good meaning to, okay? We don't understand, okay? We just condemn things, okay? Because they don't come the way we think they should come, okay?
Amen.
Because God, if God knows everything, like God is God, right? He knows everything, right? So God knows how to arrange things, and that's what God does, okay? Now, I was telling you about those dates, right? You remember those dates?
Amen.
Those eras I told you, that first, you got a first era, you got a second era, you got a third era, and you got a fourth era. Now, we're living in the first and in the fourth era, okay?
Amen.
You are living in the fourth era. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel talk about in the ninth chapter, right? In the ninth chapter of Daniel, 25-26 verse, he talk about seven times. For 2,520 years, prophetic years. Now, this is this, okay? Write down the seven times. Seven times of Daniel, okay? 2,520 years. Okay? Now, from the point, now I told you, yesterday I was telling you about the different points, right? From one point, now this is the time of Babylon. From the time of Babylon, the second era, 654 BC. Write it down. 654 BC. Thank you, Jesus. To what? To 1830 is what? That's seven times or 2,520 prophetic years. That's of Daniel also. Daniel 9, chapter 25-26. Okay, you got that down? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And I told you about the three 1,260 prophetic years witnesses, okay? That is three of those, okay, that go from 1897 BC point to 655, 654 BC, right?
Amen.
To 588 AD, okay, hallelujah, to 1830. Now, that's your three witnesses of the 1,260-year period, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, you got two witnesses of the 2,300 prophetic years of Daniel. Do you remember Jesus referred to that in the 24th chapter of Matthew?
Amen.
And I think also in Luke, he referred to that, okay, about the 2,300 and prophetic years of Daniel, right? Now, from this is from 437 BC to 436, okay? From that point, 67. Okay? Now that would be that would go all the way to the time of America, okay? 437 BC, 436, okay, to 1967. That's 2,300 prophetic years, okay? Now, time for Media Persia, okay? Thank you, Jesus. That 437, 436, that's Media Persia, right? From the time of Greece, the time when Greece ruled, okay, 334 to 333 to 1967 is 2,300 prophetic years. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, from those points, the Lord is testifying, okay, and give you an understanding, okay? Now, from that from the first one, the first one that I gave, the 1897, that's Israel, the birth of Isaac, okay, the birth of Israel. The second one is Babylon. That's the second era. That's when Israel was taken away, okay? A certain part of Israel was taken away, okay? And the king Nebuchadnezzar took over Israel and ruled over Israel. Thank you, Jesus. Now the third era is Rome, okay? That's the 588. A.D. I hope you're getting out how all these come together, okay? Now, I have a little chart before my face, okay, that I'm quoting from you, okay? But these are the different times, okay? And we are in the fourth era. Thank you, Jesus. We are in the fourth era, okay? And America, what I want to tell you is that America is in prophecy, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And the record of the Nephite comes out of America, okay? Why? How? Because the tribe of Nephi, or Lehi's tribe, was brought over here. The tribe of Joseph was brought over here all the way from Jerusalem, 600 B.C., 600 B.C., okay? And they settled here in America, before it was called America, and they found plate that was here, okay, when they got here. Thank you, Jesus. And they added to the plate that was already here. Are you understanding this? Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. Well, I want to lay that down for you, brothers and sisters, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, this ain't no big mystery, okay? It is a big mystery, but it is a big mystery, okay? But it's if you would listen, if you would have patience, you will understand, okay? And now, like I've told you before, and like we told you all the time. For all the things that we've told you to go to God, ask the Holy Ghost, ask God whether these things are true or not, because we're not hiding anything. We're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. We're not trying to deceive you in any way. We want you to understand, okay, and then we've given you the word of the Lord also, okay? So you can ask God, is that true? Right?
Amen.
I told you about us becoming, about we'll be able to be just like Jesus, okay? We'll be like his, our body's going to be like Jesus' body, okay? We're going to be like him, okay? That's one of the promises that Jesus made, that we're going to be like him, okay? That's the promise. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, what we do, we like I said before, me and my brother said before, okay, we're too much into our own religions, okay, our own cultural differences, okay, or our own church traditions, commandments, okay, and doctrines of men, okay, and we set ourselves up that way, okay. We should always leave ourselves open and humble before God so that we can receive other things that God has, okay. If this is all that God has, if what we've been looking at is all God has, man, we in bad shape. We are in bad shape. If this is all there is, and God don't send no angels no more, right? Well, you got many people that saying God don't send no angels. Angels don't come no more. God don't do that no more. Well, those people there, they're full of unbelief, and they're full of their own doctrines, okay? And some people just be so mad because they pray for things to be for a long time, but when they pray amiss because they already made up in their mind that they don't believe these things are true, okay? And so they don't get the things that they're asking for, and so they get very angry at God. And they say, oh, God didn't answer that prayer. God didn't do this. God didn't do that. If it was a God, God would do that, okay? So if God don't heal them, then God don't heal nobody, right? If they don't get healed, then nobody gets healed, and everybody else is faking.
Bye-bye.
All the people that get healed are just fakes. They lying. They deceived. You know, when a person comes to the man and the man lays the hands on them, and if one person got one leg shorter than the other, and the leg lengthens out, okay, the person said, well, that person got deceived. How is somebody gonna come to you got one leg shorter than the other? He got one leg shorter than the other, right? And you're going to tell him that you got deceived. You did. And he got healed, right? His leg got lengthened, right? He's walking straight, right? And you tell him, oh, right. He just fooled you. He made you think one of his legs, your legs was longer than the other. That's why the man came to him, because his leg was long, one leg was longer than the other. But you sitting there saying, right. Oh, that didn't happen. See, look at that. See how he pulled the leg right there? See that? See how he do the leg? I see people do that, okay? They don't believe God heals anymore, because they didn't get no answer to their prayer. And they have been praying for God to heal them. So if God didn't heal them, and they thought they was fervently praying, okay? And then maybe you were fervently praying, and maybe you didn't continue to pray fervently, okay? Maybe you left off. Or maybe that wasn't the time for you to receive that thing that you was praying for. Hallelujah. So what are you supposed to do when you don't get what you're praying for? If it's a good thing, you're supposed to continue to pray for it, right? Right? Just like you pray for the
soul. Amen.
Like you're praying for the souls of a man, right? You're praying for somebody to get saved, right? Do you expect that man to get saved right then and there because you praying for him? Because you just started praying for him? No, you don't. It may take that man 40, 30, or 20 years to get saved, okay? And you might be praying all those years for him to be saved. You might be praying that long for your family to get saved, okay? But because of our impatience, we lose a lot of things because we lose patience with God. And something is just not God's time to do. We want God to do it when we say do it. Do it now, Lord.
Right. Amen.
So right there, okay, I'm gonna give it back over to the hands of my brother. Brother, take it away in Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for Brother Robert sharing the information that God has given him to give to those of you that are listening. And I just want to say that this thing, people, and you may hear me say this again. Some of you have heard me say it before. And once again, I'm not trying to toot our own horns. But this is something that, you know, there are many things that Satan doesn't want you to know. And this is one of them, what we've been going over.
Amen.
For those of you that have been praying for us, we ask that you continue to do so. Because we need your prayers.
Amen.
because this journey that me and my brother started on back here, I don't know, 3 months ago, something like that, 3-4 months ago, it is a blessed journey, but also it is a challenging journey.
Amen.
It is a blessing journey because of what God is doing in our lives and the reward we receive from God. It has been a challenging journey because of Satan rearing his head and different things he has been doing to get us off the path. And it is not something that we take light. And that's why I told y'all before, we're not just sitting around fiddling our thumbs and trying to come up with a script to get y'all all excited. That's not the thing, okay?
Amen.
We take this seriously, what we're telling y'all, okay?
Amen.
I mean, you look at it too, to suffer what we've been suffering from doing this, why would we not take it seriously? I mean, if I call myself joking around with something and it's bringing the pain on something else, I'm going to quit joking around with it, okay? Okay, so I'm not going to keep joking around when I see it bringing me the pain, okay? But that's why I said that, hey, we treat this seriously. It's not no game. And it's not nothing that we're trying to, quote, get you to join our church. That's one of the other things that people get in their mind, that when you're telling them this, they say, oh, they're trying to get us to join their church. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that many ministers before have done such a thing like that.
Yep.
But never let yourself get caught in the act of judging that way. Now, that's the wrong kind of judge, okay? Yeah. See, people talking about you can't judge me. They need to really go define what Jesus was talking about, okay, when he said that, because they think you can't tell them wrong at all. That ain't what that's talking about. See, there's areas where your judging is wrong, okay?
Amen.
And if someone in your family was a thief, and I just come across you and see you and automatically say, oh, let me have my wallet. And they're like, what you have your wallet for? Because he'll steal from me. Now, I don't know you, but because I knew someone of your family that's a thief, I'm going to automatically say you're one. And that's wrong, okay? And see, some of you have been going off what other ministers have done, and you have been looking at other ministers you come across, and you have put that same judgment in your head. You know, it's just like there have been some men who women have taken their money. But now what they do, every woman they see to them is a gold digger, okay? Now, they don't even know this woman. But they automatically saying, I ain't fooling with her. Why? And she going to take my money. I'm like, how you know that? You don't even know her. Well, you know, because I used to deal with some men on the job, and that's why God dealt with me, too, about our terminology. I used to deal with men on the job, and they would say, you know, women ain't good with money. I said, hold back up a minute. And then what they'll do, they'll start going from there, start talking about your wife. Now, they don't even know your wife. And they'll come out and say, yeah, it's just like your wife the same way. You hold back up a minute, man. You don't know my wife. You didn't. But because you have come across a woman that wasn't good with money, now you judging all women the same way. And I had to tell him, I said, man, your terminology wrong. I said, man, you judging, buddy. What are you talking about? I said, well, I said, just because you came across a woman that did you like that, maybe she blew your money or something like that. I said, now you want to see every woman you come across, you're going to just say women. I said, man, you use the wrong terminology. I said, because you don't know every woman.
Amen.
You know, that's the same way with a woman. I've heard women saying, men ain't nothing but dogs. I said, wait a minute. What you mean? I said, first of all, you don't know me. Because I'm a man. I'm a male. But you calling me a dog already. You don't even know me. But because some man did you wrong and played a game on you and fooled around with women on you, now you're looking at every man you come across as a dog. And see, Satan plays on that emotion with men and women, and that's another way he get men going with men and women going with women.
Amen.
Because you got women saying, ain't no good men out there. I might wear good with a woman. You know, and they start fooling with women. Same thing with men. They ain't no good men. Ain't no good women out there. Women didn't be wrong. So what they do? Now they get the guru eye for same sex. And they think, see, and Satan, what he did, he used that womb, and he got them into deeper sin. He got them into abominable works, okay? Because he what? He fed off that womb. That's what he did, okay? So that's why I'm saying, those of you listening, yeah, there have been some pastors being out there doing some dirty stuff. Yeah, there have been some of them telling you stuff about other pastors so they can get you to become a member of their church. That has happened. But me and my brother here is on this broadcast. That's not what we're doing.
Amen.
Okay. In fact, we just told you, hey, take what we said to the Lord, and that's it. We're not, once again, we're not asking you where you stay at so we can keep sending, flooding your mailbox with letters with big old words on it. Did you get a sign? Did you get a witness? We ain't sending no stuff like that. Okay? We only been told to tell you and point you to Christ. That's what we've been told. Okay? We're not going over that. In fact, we were to do that, we couldn't sleep at night. We couldn't sleep at night. But we'd be starting to think about, hey, did I get in touch with him? Did I write him a letter? No, man, that's torment. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. We love you in the Lord, but whether you receive it or not, I want to have a good night's sleep. Okay?
That's right.
And you know, that's why I stand with it. So I know that there are going to be some of you who not going to accept this. I know it. Okay? I'm just going to be straight up with you. There are going to be some of you that are not going to accept this. There are going to be some of you that are going to say, hey, well, I'm going to take this to the Lord. I can't jump on the bandwagon and agree with them right then. But I will take it to the Lord. Now, there are going to be some of you that's going to do that. And then there's going to be a few of you that say, hey, I know this is from God. Okay? Once again, like I told you before, it is dealing with the heart. That's what it's dealing with. It is dealing with the heart. Now, we got a caller here. Let me pass this caller on. God bless you. Call you on with Brother Robin and Brother Nate. Who am I speaking with?
God bless you both. This is Sharita. I was listening through Blog Talk Radio on the internet, but I said, let me just call and listen to the phone because I wanted to log off, and so I'm listening to the phone, but I'm enjoying what I hear.
Amen, amen, and God bless you. We thank God for you calling in, and it's been a blessed day in the Lord. Is there any prayer requests, any question, anything that you have?
No, you all could just keep my brother in prayer. He's incarcerated, but they had to take him to the hospital today. So I told my mom that I really think he has COVID-19 because they're really not saying anything. So just his name is Henry.
Henry, well, you know what? So definitely would do that. In fact,
amen.
Thank you.
That's what we're going to go into prayer right now on that. Glory be to God. Would you like to hang on a minute while we pray?
Yes.
Okay, well, no problem. Brother Robert, we're going to go into prayer for her brother Henry. Amen.
Okay.
Glory be to God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ as we come together to pray for Henry this day. Lord God, you know his condition. You know the situation that he's in. You know what's happening, what's going on. And Father, we pray right now, first of all, we pray for his salvation. We pray that he would accept you and be converted unto Christ, and that he may experience the covenant and inheritance and right and privileges of God. And then, Father, we pray that by your Spirit, that whatever that situation may be, whatever that sickness may be, that, Lord God, that you would demonstrate your power as you did in the days of old, as you did when you walk in the flesh. And, Lord, that you would speak to that sickness, speak to whatever it may be, and that it will leave in the name of Jesus. We stand right now, Lord God, and we apply the word of God today. For, Lord, you said by Jesus' stripes he is healed. Father, you were beating for many stripes for his healing. Lord God, in Jesus' name, you went through that. You were scourged for his healing. And, Lord God, we pray today that, Lord God, as we come together, Lord God, and we lift them up today, that God, that you would show this magnificent move of your hand.
Yes.
And, Lord God, let your promises, Lord God, rest over him and show for the glory of God. And we pray right now, God, that you would just reveal yourself to him. Show him who you are in the double shakta, in the name of Jesus. Show him your power, Lord God. Show him that you are Lord. And show him that no sickness or disease can stand to your power. Show him, Lord God, how even the devil has to bow a knee at you in the name of Jesus. Show him how great your name is, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I pray that a joy will come into his heart to the fullest in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Brother Ronnie.
Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I agree with my brother, Lord God, and standing, hallelujah, also, Lord God, with the sister, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, that she should be given this thing, Lord God, that she has asked, Lord God, hallelujah, that she should be hooked up with her brother, Lord God, hallelujah, that she should be in contact with him, Lord God, and Lord God, that he, Lord God, hallelujah, receive, Lord God, his hand of God upon his body, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Upon his soul, upon his spirit, upon his desire, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father, it loose, Lord God, hallelujah, this spirit, oh Lord God, of healing upon him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Send, in the name
Lord
of Jesus.
God, your hand, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Lamb.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep him, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the hollow of your hand, O Lord God. Hallelujah. Let that thing, Lord God, which is written in your 91st Psalm, Lord God, be upon him, Lord God. Hallelujah. Overshadow him, Lord God, with the wings, Lord God. With your wings.
Yes, Lord.
With your wings, O Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let nothing. Let no pestilence, no plague, hallelujah, hallelujah, destroy him. In Jesus Christ's holy, righteous name.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Thank
you.
And we give you honor,
glory
praise, and
God.
Glory, Lord. For you are worthy of all praise, of all honor, of all glory. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for this. And I'm sorry, once again, what do you said your name was?
Sister Sharita.
Sister Sharita. Okay, well, Sister Sharita, thank God for you calling in. And like I said, we are on. In fact, we'll be on again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And, you know, whenever you feel free, you want to call in. If you want to call in and just listen, no problem. I can set it up where you can just listen in. So, you know. Glory be to God. Thank God for you calling in.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So you continue to have a blessed day in the Lord. And God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for Sister Sharita calling in. And she's listening in. Glory to God. And we was been given opportunity to pray for her brother. And, you know, people, listen, you know, we have to be prepared that when there is a need to pray, see, when we pray, we got to think about more than ourselves. And we have to think about, hey, that not only are we going to be praying for ourselves at times, but we're going to be praying for others. And we have to get ready, get prepared in prayer, okay?
Amen.
So you don't want to be uttering up just anything. You know, you don't want to be just saying anything. And like my brother said, you don't want to be praying amiss, okay? You don't, you know, just saying anything and you know, you praying in vain and you talking about stuff or asking for stuff that you ain't got no business asking for. So we're so grateful for such a time like this. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to let my brother offer up a closing prayer. Take it away, brother.
Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word, Lord Jesus, and we pray, Lord God, that your word continues to go forth, O Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for this journey, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this journey of truth, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for this mission, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Bless us, Lord God, to continue it, Lord God, and bless those that's listening, Lord God, to continue to listen, to continue, Lord God, hallelujah, to seek you, Lord God, even if it's just a few, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that doesn't matter. If one turn their heart to you, Lord God, hallelujah, that is the thing, oh, Lord God. So we ask you, Lord God, to save and deliver, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Bring the listeners, Lord God, even closer to you, Lord God, even closer to you, Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, closer than they ever been. Bring them closer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we'll be back on again at 7 o'clock with part 3 of How Did the Record of Nephi Come Forth. We'll be talking about that tomorrow night, my brother and I, at 7 o'clock p.m. Listen for the advertisement then. So once again, we thank God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you. God bless you, and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sister.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.